This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yannick Ngakoue right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm asking for a favor. Just next time say, hey, Matchell, what's going on? See what he says.
I got that in the notebook.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I hope one day I get to hang out with Matt Ryan and we can have a real conversation about the Matchell.
Let's do it.
And how much he hates it.
Let's do it. We'll do it over natural ice beer.
Today's guest, Mets manager Buck Showalter. Actor Josh Charles. Plus, your phone calls, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live here in Los Angeles, California, right here on NBC Sports on Peacock, right here on Sirius XM Channel 85, right here on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, right here on Odyssey, right here on our podcast. We say hello to everybody. We're equal opportunity hello sayers here on the Rich Eisen Show. And once we are done, we are heading to Los Angeles International Airport to fly to New York City en masse. The entire Rich Eisen Show crew is going to the Sports Emmy Awards tomorrow night in Columbus Circle in New York City, where a couple of trophies are on the line for this show and for me personally, and I couldn't be more excited to be traveling with everybody. Christopher Brockman, good to see you over there, sir.
You know, Rich, like 2 minutes ago, just dawned on me, this is the last show that we're going to do non-Emmy winners.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, okay. When we come back on Thursday,
nice.
Trophies in the case. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
That's what's up.
Thank you very much. Jay Felly, good to see you. How are you over there?
I'm good. Delphi's off trying to outrun a cheetah.
What do you mean?
He's going to outrun anyone, right?
Okay.
Wow.
Jay Felly, call him back. It's a whole fresh week. Don't make us work so hard.
My bad.
No worries. Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, lighting the candle. What's up, sir?
Yes, indeed. You know, when they say it's truly an honor to be nominated, Rich, I never thought that was true until really this happened. It really is an honor to be nominated. But that being said, like, I still want to win.
Well, you know what? I know. And we'll, you know what? I do want to take a couple of minutes later on to have that conversation. And we will. We've got something for you. TJ?
Me, personally?
Yes, you're a fan of the New York Metropolitans, are you not?
You know I am.
Buck Showalter, the manager of the Mets. It's his birthday, and he said yes to coming on the program.
My skipper.
National League East leading New York Metropolitans.
Of all the things I want to know from Buck, I heard something recently. I heard that Buck Showalter changed the voice on his navigation because it annoyed him. And I just want to know if that story is true.
Is that right? What do you mean?
Well, apparently I read a story last week that I don't know if it's true or not, that the voice on his navigation in his car bugged him so much that he swapped out voices. So, and I was going to ask you guys if you could have anyone navigate.
To know how to do it?
Well, no, if you could have anyone navigate for you. Yeah, who would you want?
Morgan Freeman.
Right. Wow. It's an actual option on Waze.
Yeah, right? It is. You can change this. You can have
interesting.
All right, let's
how
think
about this?
It.
How about
we'll
this?
About it.
Or more germane question, Buck, how does it feel to be the manager of the only team above 500 with an 8-game lead in the National League Eastern Division?
Well, I don't want to speak about it too much because I'm superstitious.
So. Well, and you know, there's a lot of water, if you will, to be treaded before Scherzer comes back healthy or Jacob deGrom comes back healthy. It's Memorial Day weekend coming up, and that's the de facto quarter post point of the Major League Baseball season. So Buck will be joining us, and then he's a former Oriole manager. And right after him in hour number three is our buddy Josh Charles, who, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, has already said if all goes well in his own household, he's got kids, little kids, he will join us tomorrow night for our post-Emmy gathering. In New York City, yeah.
How about that?
He'll be part of that. Diehard Raven fan. He was backstage when Ed Marinaro had his residency in Las Vegas at the draft. I can't wait for him to tell this story. I already know it. Trust me, I think the NFL went to all the guest draft pickers afterwards to say, let's chop chop.
Make sure
you're not going to tell your life story when you go out there.
Read the card.
So he's going to join us in hour number three for that. Peter King is joining us in hour number two. His Football Morning in America column came out, and he had his old power rankings.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love power rankings.
Power rankings in late May, everybody.
Love it.
So we'll have a football conversation because we always love talking football here on the program. Then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Susie, my wife, is going to be calling in because she heard me tell the story against counsel, who was advising me not to say anything last week.
I tried.
Perhaps my poor Uber rating was partially born out of her being in the seat during that entire process. I wasn't riding in my Ubers solo, but I have since jacked the rating from 454 up to 456. And all it's taken is 2 years to go up two 100ths of a point on my Uber rating. And so that will be part of the conversation on this program. Did Luka get posterized last night or what?
Wow.
I mean,
no,
it was
no,
an offensive foul.
Oh, it was certainly was not.
Oh my!
I'm just
gracious.
Here to defend.
It's just a different way. A different way for me to say the following: how about my Warriors?
Oh, God.
How about my Golden State Warriors, the team that I chose to win the NBA championship this season?
For really, no reason either. You just took them.
I took the Warriors this year, not for no reason, Chris.
But I'm saying it wasn't like a chic.
I will say this. The reason why I took the Warriors prior to the season, and now they're up 3-0 on the Mavs, and it sure looks like that they're going to be playing for the Lawrence O'Brien Trophy once again and try and bring it back to San Francisco or the Bay Area. The reason why I chose them is I knew Klay was coming back, and I just assumed that Curry's season last year wasn't an outlier, as I think a lot of people were looking at his renaissance season of last year is something of an outlier, that Curry was now entering his dotage years, his 30s in the NBA, and was his clock was ticking. And I saw that, however, as a sign that he is generationally great in a way that we can have a conversation of him being one of the best ever. Certainly hit his position. Saw Klay coming back. Thought Draymond was there. To be honest with you, I thought Wiggins would be now fully integrated into the offense. And put it all together, I didn't see his all-star starting season coming. But I did think it was significant, and I also, be straight up honest, didn't see Jordan Poole coming the way that he has arrived on the scene. I just thought he was my Michigan guy who would have a nice little role play as opposed to him being as a significant player as he's turned out to be. And now Looney has become significant in this series, and they're up 3-0. But to me, the Wiggins dunk on Luka last night with about 5 minutes to go to make it a 10-point game, and for Wiggins to be the one to throw it down and essentially say he had arrived in a certain way in these playoffs in a way that he has not really done so, but for him to be the one to provide the exclamation point last night, I thought was particularly significant. And the former number one overall selection whose career was drifting until he arrived in San Francisco. And a lot of the conversation for Wiggins before the season would be, would he get vaccinated or not? That was the main thrust of his season. And boy, did he provide a shot last night to the entire affair. It essentially closed out the game. In my mind, it closed out potentially the series, closed out potentially the conference. Obviously, there are four more games potentially in this series. I don't believe we will see more than two. If that, the Warriors once again win a game on the road in a playoff series. They've done that over and over and over again in the Curry era. Kerr is now back on the sideline, back on the bench. And I think the Warriors look championship quality. This just in. While the East beat themselves up for the right to potentially play the Warriors. And I'll just say this about the dunk. I honestly don't know why. And it's such a tough gig, man. officiating, umpiring, refereeing, however you want to put it, depending on the sport. It is so difficult. In this day and age where everybody's got a high-definition television, some have multiple K, 4K, 5K, whatever the hell K.
8K.
Now we're seeing everything in the palm of your hand. I'll be very honest. You know, I stepped away from the television set. I saw the Wiggins dunk on my phone moments after it happened. And my first initial thought when I saw Mark Davis, the official, wave it off, calling an offensive foul, I cursed at my phone. I did.
Did you say,
I said, thankfully,
the hell going on?
Thankfully, my kids weren't in the room. I did say WTF out loud.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because of the dunk. It was because where's the offensive foul? Did it look like what he used one of his arms to try and clear out?
Yeah. Luka sold it very well. He sold it very well.
Well, it's because he got dunked on. I mean, we hear that phrase all the time. You see the videos of people having weddings or big moments in their lives, and the friends go behind the guest of honor like with a little mini hoop, and somebody dunks on them. Like, that's literally what happened to Luka last night, except that there was the actual basket.
And
of an actual NBA game.
He was trying to stop it.
Of course he was. And of all people that you would think that could go up and thunder one down, Andrew Wiggins is not your candidate.
Why would you not think Andrew Wiggins at 6'8", 220?
You know what I'm talking about. That's just not his style of play.
Rick, I got to disagree with you there.
His style of play is to go hard to the rack and dunk on Luka Doncic?
I've definitely seen him do it.
Not like that.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't a surprise. Maxi Kleber dunking on somebody is a shock. Andrew Wiggins capping on somebody?
If I had told you before the game someone's going to posterize Luka, would you have chosen him?
On the Warriors?
Yeah.
Who else? Who else would you? Steph's not going to do it. Klay's not going to do it. Poole's not going to do it. Draymond's not going to do it.
I guess you're right. My bad. I'll back off, but I'll just say this.
It was ridiculous.
It is the ultimate moment of officials making it about them. And Draymond even said that to Mark Davis afterwards. It's not about you.
Yeah. That's been happening this whole play.
Honestly, it's not about you. It's just like, this is one of the most incredible moments. The entire arena saw it. The whole world saw it. It gets you off the couch. It gets you cursing at your phone. It's incredible. And you're waving it off? Yeah. You're waving it off. Everyone in the arena knew it. Even, you know, Reggie Miller's like, come on, that's a poster. It should have been an and one, if anything else. Yeah. Where's the foul? The Warriors bench was on the other end, and they were like, what? They were like, what, WTF?
People in the crowd were like, oh, my God.
You got to be kidding me. You're waving this off? Yeah. You can't let one of the big moments actually have its own moment? You've got to step forward and, you know, blow your whistle, move your arms, and do that whole business?
Get him a body bag.
It's murder.
Oh, Draymond apparently, like, look how high he's going.
My man is above the square, Chris. He's above the square.
And then, like, what a shot that is. We're looking at the still photograph of it right here on our Peacock feed,
and
radio listeners.
I know we slag on Luka for his defense, but, like, this was one of those times. Maybe just don't try to block it.
Yeah,
like, get out of the way.
Man,
you see him coming.
Get out of the way. I get it. I also can't blame him. He's got to figure he's doing everything he needs to do.
Well, he's the only one doing anything on that team.
Well, Dinwiddie's, I think, performing valiantly. And
Brunson is balling, man.
Right. They just don't have enough firepower when the Warriors are playing like this. And didn't they shoot the lights out in game two, and then they still lost?
They had 15 threes or more than that, right, Chris?
First half. They had 72 in the first half, and then 37 the rest of the game.
By the way, how about Luka basically weaving his entire way through a defense that knew they had to stop the ball at the end of the first quarter, and then he just splashed one down to make it a one-point game after the Warriors had thrown a 10-0 run on him in the first quarter last night. He's just doing all he can, and when he tried to block it, but it's just like, come on, man.
Come on, man.
What a dunk. What a moment. You have to sit there and realize what the moment is, and obviously he thought there was a foul, so I guess he's going to call it, but to me, it's just like, what are you looking for right there? What are you looking to see? Like, what did you see?
He probably thought Wiggins led with the arm because Luka sold it like he got smacked
in the
face.
He was in the corner.
Yeah, but
I guess he couldn't have seen
touched.
That.
Like, why? Just Maybe don't blow the whistle.
Exactly. It's just, it is the embodiment of official making it about themselves.
Well, even before the game, Rich, did you see what happened when he tried to get the player, was it Hardaway? I'm not sure, to change his shirt during shoot-arounds. He wasn't even playing in the game. He was a bench player, and he asked him to change his white shirt because it made him... He couldn't tell the difference between...
They got fined before the game, $100K.
I know, that's that one I didn't have a problem with.
To change his shirt?
You can't, yeah, because you... Do you make the Warriors feel like they could pass the ball to him?
Okay.
You should know who your teammates are.
And that's kind of... And it's a t-shirt, and he doesn't have shorts on.
So first off, hold on a second. I saw Frank Isola was going nuts about this yesterday.
Right.
I couldn't believe that he was serious. So first off, we want these guys to adhere to a dress code, what they wear on the bench and what they can wear to games. Now you want them to all wear team-issued gear so other teams don't get confused. Which is it?
Yeah, that was a little... I've never heard
you
that
You know who
before.
Your teammates
like,
are.
Come on.
Come on.
I guess when you're just in the midst of a moment, you can't look to see who that is. I mean, you've seen sometimes somebody get a perfectly thrown pass standing on somebody's bench. You've seen that
Freddie
before.
Freddie Brown did it.
You've seen that before.
Gave the Tar Heels a championship in 82. So, yeah.
All right, let's take a break here. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've got Overreaction Monday. We haven't even touched on the PGA Championship.
Which was incredible.
I mean, that was an incredible run by Justin Thomas. There's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. We're off and running here on this very busy Monday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're going to come back and we'll hit that PGA Championship and so much more right now on the Rich Eisen Show. Callaway Rogue ST driver. Every golf equipment company claims to be long or off the tee, but Callaway's new Rogue ST driver is the only one built to completely bomb it, speed-tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you more speed on off-center hits and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. But that's just the beginning, because Callaway's engineered a Rogue ST for every player. I use the Max. You could use the Max D if you need a dedicated draw model. I think Pereira could have used that on 18 yesterday.
Nice.
Now, if you need something more low spin, there's the Max LS, which gives you more stronger trajectory with a more neutral ball flight. But for the true players out there, the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS is the compact low spin head tour players adore. Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Tomorrow on Netflix. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, having a very important conversation about flying to New York. You're busting out new
Jordans. Two pairs.
For the flight.
For the flight and for...
I imagine tomorrow night your footwear is going to be...
Of course.
On point.
Oh, yeah. I'm wearing a pair there, too.
But you're wearing a new pair on the plane.
Yeah. Brand new.
Are you
I'm a different person. When I go to New York, this TJ Jefferson, who's been to New York hundreds of times, right?
Yes.
And I've done big things and I've done great stuff and had a lot of fun. But this version of TJ Jefferson that returns home is a version that's never existed. Okay. The guy coming back is a new me because I'm going to be different when I come back.
How are you different?
Because I'm going to have something.
What are you having?
I'm going to have a little statue with me.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. I'm going to have something to put on the resume after 20 years of hard work.
I think there's only one statue, and then you got to order
them.
But
you know what I'm saying. Don't. You're on my side here, Brotman. Don't try to play me out.
If the voting wasn't already done, yeah. I would have a problem with this conversation. Voting's done.
That's why I'm saying what I'm saying.
Voting's been done for weeks.
Yeah.
The voting was done the day we got nominated.
Because
the top point getters get nominated.
That's why it's a...
Right.
That's why it means a lot to be nominated. That's why it's an honor. But you know, again, Rich, I've manifested. I've been big on this, man. I've been manifesting things over the last few years.
Your beard looks tight, too.
Blades, I told you. I went to Benny Blades, and I said, I want that Michael Bivins. I want the, like, Bell Biv DeVoe's going on a 30-city tour. I'm like, you do things to me that have never been done. And Benny Blades went in there, and he crafted, and he painted, and he hooked it up. He broke out the razor blade, and, you know, I think he cut my neck a few times, but that's all right. But, like, he was in there. He was precise.
You look tight, right?
Thank you, man.
For
as happy as I am to hear that, when he hears this, he's going to lose
like
his mind.
You look tight. I'm seeing your beard, and it looks tight.
It is lined up.
It is.
I was hanging out with Brockman this weekend after I just got my hair done, too. Like, I went to see Miss Letty. You know, I'll take this off, too. But, you know, this is unveil everything for the people. You know what I'm saying? To the radio audience.
Are you going full dreads down for the Emmys?
I got to figure that out, man. I might put them in a bun. I might let them down. I don't know.
My man was in the Valley on Saturday and was like, yo, I'm rolling through. I was like, come on by.
Yeah. I went and hung out with Brockman on Saturday.
So let me just say this. Which is the better TJ Jefferson? Or you guys like it when I
reframe.
Clap back.
Oh,
the clap back Rich.
Is my favorite Rich.
Okay, right? That came out, by the way,
We'll get to that. Because I was going to sit in.
You saw that?
Luca wasn't the only person who got posterized this weekend. Okay,
let's somebody got posterized on my Twitter feed. Yeah. So clap back Rich, you like.
Yes.
I kind of dig third person TJ Jefferson. Did you hear that? In that whole soliloquy, he went third person?
Rich,
did you catch that?
There's only one person in this studio and with this show who's allowed to talk in the third person.
And that is?
And he's not here today.
Okay? Del Tufo.
Del Tufo-isms.
He is owning that corner of the neighborhood.
That's a good point. He's got a good point.
You just went third person.
Well, I'm just
feeling it.
I feel different, man, because
not yet.
Rich, it doesn't matter. Like you said, to be nominated is an honor. I've worked on a lot of stuff in this town. I've worked on a lot of decent programs.
You calling Ashton shows decent?
Yeah, they were decent, you know, big shows, and I've never been nominated for anything. This is major, man, and I don't know. I don't care.
It's worthy of getting two new shoes.
Yeah.
It's worthy of getting Benny Blades getting you tight.
Get me tight like I'm going on tour with Bill
Bibb DeVoe. You said who did your hair?
That's Miss Letty.
Miss Letty?
In the Valley, you know? Miss Letty.
Let's all let her hair on.
Miss Letty.
What does it mean that all I did this weekend was play pickleball?
I saw that. Is pickleball a sign that you've reached a certain age?
Oh, snap. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
What does that mean? I'll bite on this one. What does that mean? What does that mean? I'll bite. Go ahead.
Hold on.
All I'm saying are two words. Go ahead. And.
I'll bite.
And. Tread lightly. Go ahead.
All due respect, obviously.
Yes.
And I've never played. I'm sure it's very difficult and excruciating.
Oh, what a setup.
Most people I see playing pickleball are of a certain age.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Exactly. Put a number on it. Come on. Put your finger directly on it, Chris. Come on. You open the door. You're walking through it. Go ahead.
There's a five in front of your age. That's all I'm saying. Like, that age and up is more of the pickleball.
Okay. Two things. First of all, you tried.
I'm saying I've never done it.
Okay.
But I'm just saying.
I don't even know what it is.
It's a less strenuous version of actual tennis.
Untrue.
How is it? How could it
Why?
It's like there's levels of it, right? So it's like ping pong is one, and then pickleball is another, and then
badminton,
and then the real athletes play tennis, and then there's
pickleball. For those who don't know, it's played on a much you don't know what it is.
Okay, go over here, Google.
Here's what pickleball is. Pickleball is on a much smaller court than tennis. Okay, it's basically about maybe half a tennis court.
Right.
Okay. So on one side of the tennis court, you could put a pickleball court. And what it is it's a lower net. It's a smaller space. You're using a paddle and a large wiffle ball. And there are rules that you can't be in a spot in front of the net, a small space right in front of the net called the kitchen.
So you can't like spike it.
Yeah, because you can't stand there like you're, you know.
Right. Like Boban.
I would go, no. That's okay. You want to go Boban just because you pissed me off, I'll go Bam Adebayo.
Okay. Oh, wow.
All right. We'll go Bam.
Fair,
okay.
Fair.
Or Oladipo or fair. Whomever. Okay. So. So you have to know, you've got to go to a certain line. You can't cross it. You've got to. The running, the whatever. I am in, and I understand this may make your point a little bit. I'm like barely freaking upright. I played for 3 hours yesterday.
Oh, gosh. Well,
it is an incredible workout.
Where were you playing?
Friend's house.
Okay.
Friend's house.
Name drop?
No, it's just, you know, somebody who has a tennis court and has, and the fishmonger of Santa Monica, okay. All right, has. He's created a spot on his tennis court.
That's cool.
And and it is intense.
Yeah.
And it is great. And I as you know, I play tennis. Mm-hmm. And I play pickleball. Mm-hmm. And I leave pickleball in much better of a workout, a buzz going.
Oh, interesting.
And a hell of a lot more sore. Than tennis.
Is it because...
Now, Roger Federer...
It's short, quick burst.
Or Nadal, or you want to name it, like, clearly, they are dominant in their sport.
Yeah.
And I understand that tennis requires a lot more physical potential stamina when you're playing for, like, 5.5 hours. But now, three words. How dare you?
Is
of a certain age.
Similar an age to you?
We're all right around there.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And the guy who is the most advanced.
Is the best?
He's got a dynamite serve.
Oh.
Dynamite serve.
Are you putting a little action on
it? You
that?
Can put action on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I'm just saying, I've never played. It's just an observation I've made.
You could have asked, tell me about it, Rich. Not like... Are you old?
That's not what I said. Those words never came out of my mouth. Never came out of my mouth.
You know who else is huge in the pickleball? I think I've told you this before.
Everyone.
Doug Allen from Entourage.
Everyone is.
He was like the first guy I saw who
Google
was
his
really
age. Into. How old is he? Is there a five in front of it?
I think he's 50.
Yeah, really? He's older than you are?
Hang on. Hang on. He's 54. He's older than me.
But my boy, I've said his name before, my buddy Frankie Delgado, he also plays. And
how
he's
old
like,
is Frankie Delgado?
He's like 37, I think.
There you go. How about you try it? You want to try it? You want to come out?
I don't.
Why? It's a hell of a workout. You'd love it.
Probably, but then I got to drive all the way down to Santa Monica.
There's different places. This place is by you.
Far,
this place is by you. Whatever the pond version of... Of pickleball is. That's fine for you.
I'm okay. That's not where I was going with this conversation. It was just an observation I've made.
Okay. Pickleball's awesome. I'll be honest with you. I wish they came up with a different name for it. The name is a killer.
That's
you
it.
You know
right?
what another one, too? Where? Pilates. You used to make fun of Pilates. You try it?
I tried it once.
And how tough is it?
It's the hardest
it's
thing ever. It's so hard.
And
I remember,
and when you, and every single time I said, you know what, I'm doing Pilates, you go, oh, really?
No, it's not Pilates. Her body's just there.
Hold on, I'm trying to think where the origin of pickleball came from.
It's probably because the ball is like a wiffle ball, and it I don't know what it is. I wish they'd come with a different name for it. Not a great name.
Pickleball founded in 1965.
That's interesting. Well, it's on fire now. on fire now.
This guy, Joel Pritchard, and his wife started to call it pickleball because the combination of different sports reminded me of the pickle boat in Crew.
Oh, God.
Where the oarsmen were chosen from leftovers of other boats.
Oh, my God.
So it's like a mishmash.
Well, guess what?
Call it pickleball.
Guess what?
There you go.
I wish they'd changed the name, but it is great. I love it. Hell of a workout. And I'm outraged.
Do you think if they had pickleball in the Olympics, it would just be a bunch of old-timers out there?
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. There'd be some dominant 20, 30-year-olds.
I just wanted one more for Jay Felly.
Fine.
Thank you.
You guys try it.
Thank you, Jay, for laughing.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Lonnie in Los Angeles. What's up, Lonnie?
Hey, man, how you doing, man? It's been a while. Had a lot on my mind. Look, I like Lucas Gayne. I admire him.
Me too.
But do I need to get Jackie McMullen or Bob Ryan on your show so we can stop comparing him to Larry Bird? Mm-hmm. He is not Larry Bird. Larry Bird is intellectually superior. He is a much better basketball player. And I'm going to say this again, because I've said this on your show before. There's not more than seven basketball players in the history of the NBA that are better than Larry Bird. And none of them are playing now. None of them.
Well, we had Sally on the show the other day, Lonnie. I don't know if you caught it, but he compared Luka to Larry Bird in the fact that players in the NBA fear playing Luka in the same way that they fear Larry Bird. Held up his hands one over the other. What would you say, Chris? Separated by about a foot? Same, saying like that Bird is
like,
Bird is that much better than Luka, right?
Like that.
That's what
he
said.
I saw that. But tell Sally to stay off the weed.
Wait, Lonnie,
Stephen A?
I studied this man's game. I told you guys this before. I graduated from DePaul University. He beat us in the Final Four, and I studied this game ever since. Larry Bird has beat every team I've ever cared about. If you name a beverage, I'm climbing it over Larry Bird. Beer, pop, everything. Larry Bird is so incredible. And every white dude with a jump shot is not Larry Bird.
Thank you very much, Lonnie in Los Angeles, everybody. Write that one down, Chris, will you please? Every white dude with a jump shot is not Larry Bird.
Although Chris believes that not to be true because...
Well, I'm Larry Bird, basically.
He's Larry Bird.
I have a jump shot and I'm white. I don't know how we parse that into...
By the way, like Sally's story about Larry Bird the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Him saying that he knew Larry because he was up in Boston as part of the wink-wink recruitment process into the NBA. Sally went to Georgia Tech, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So he was part of all that. So he knew Larry for a couple of years when he gets into the league. And he drew the assignment of cover number 33. And Larry, he said, looked around when Sally checked in the game. And he goes, you're not going to double team me?
Where's the double team?
I got height on you.
Yeah, I got you. I got height on you.
And then he said he screamed mouse in the house.
Yeah, even though he was smaller.
Mouse in the house. And then immediately shot one over Sally and said, basically, you need reinforcements.
Yeah.
Get someone else in here. Or double.
Double, triple.
Does everybody have a story about Larry Bird like that?
Apparently, yes.
Seems like it. Well, my favorite ones are I'm going to dribble three dribbles and shoot right here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he would do it. And they'd make it. And they'd be like, he told me what he was going to do. And I still couldn't stop
right.
it.
I would love somebody that I would watch a documentary of an hour and a half straight of people telling their Larry Bird stories.
I think The Athletic did a story recently about that.
What, just like an oral history where people sit down, look directly to camera, like that NFL Films America's Game. They were the first to do that, right? I think they were the first to do that for sports documentaries where they would put, they'd have you look directly into the lens
and go.
I would do that. I would watch that.
People, you know.
You should do that.
Look at Larry Bird, and they're like, what's this guy going to do? Is he
Well, I mean, it's the same thing, too. It's just, you know, Or look at Luka and call him Bird? I mean,
Luka is Bird-ish.
He's not, though. I keep trying to tell you that.
Okay, like, fine. Then he's Michael Jordan because he has the highest points per game average in playoff history right now.
Michael Jordan.
Who Luka does, right?
Yeah. So,
man. Which one of you guys tweeted out that? Was it you saying that Luka should demand to go to Philadelphia to play with Embiid so that neither of them would ever lose
it? No. It's,
who's that?
It was me.
You did that?
Embiid should demand a trade to Dallas.
You know, I would never say it the other way around, so that couldn't have been me. I have said, though, imagine Luka and Embiid together would be insane.
Luka and Embiid would win the championship.
I would think so. That could be wishful thinking on my part because I haven't had one in so long.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll talk the PGA Championship and so much more. We haven't even hit on the Celtics and the Heat other than me making a broadside towards Chris Brockman because he called me old.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that.
No, we'll talk about that because the phrase of, you know, well, we'll talk about how Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum remarkably came back out of the locker room. And both of those
Marcus
instances.
Marcus Smart looks like he broke his ankle.
It was unbelievable. We're coming back with that and more in a moment.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back here on our program, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show.
This is John Moran, dunk.
Lots going on here to talk about today. Look, nothing's worse in sports than watching somebody melt down. And I think the worst sport to see somebody melt down in is golf. Because the train wreck lasts several minutes, like actual time. And to watch Mito Pereira take the lead in the PGA Championship and multiple times take the lead in the PGA Championship only to have the lead disappear and then fight back and get a multiple shot lead. And there he is on 17 for one putt to take a two-shot lead into the final hole, and the ball just needs one more revolution, one more spin of it. It sat right there. Needed Carl Spackler somewhere on Southern Hills to blow up the golf course so it could tumble into the hole. That's a Caddyshack reference, everybody. And so instead, Pereira goes to the 18th tee just needing to par the hole, and that's all she wrote. Everyone else was in the clubhouse, and it's all he needed. And the Chilean got Chilean kind of windy, to use the Rich Eisen show phrase. And I mean, when he struck his tee shot and his follow through looked Barkley-esque.
He like stopped.
I don't know what it was. It was, I know he was trying to
keep it low.
Right.
But
he's trying to hit the shot that Justin Thomas hit. And his 18th tee shot in regulation.
Yeah. Both, yeah.
Right? That's the shot he was trying to hit. And it goes in the water. Oh. But even then,
he still had a chance to make bogey and be in the playoff.
Correct. Even then, up and down from there, we've seen crazier things would have won it.
Right.
Up and two putts from there would have put him in the playoff. And it just was, it was terrible. And to his credit, he did speak to CBS afterwards and basically said, you know, essentially I blew it. And he's going to be thinking about that for some time to come, and I do hope he gets another opportunity. But Justin Thomas, man, this guy's seven shots back. I think they said on the broadcast, was it Nance or Faldo, that some sight of some sort.
He was 2%.
Well, I heard it was 1.5%. Oh, yeah, yeah. Less than milk. Yeah.
Less than milk.
1.5. You're rounding up.
I was rounding up, yeah.
The chances of him winning the PGA Championship strolling to the first tee yesterday was 1.5%.
You could have got him at 25-1 to win yesterday.
And it just shows you, man, experience and being able to, I don't know how you can control your nerves. Again, it's the thought that just gets in your skull. I mean, at least with football and sometimes with basketball, you just go straight soccer. You don't sit there and think about anything. Tennis will get in your skull like that. But golf, for sure. The fact that he was able to buckle down, make his shots, and execute them, watch everybody else kind of fall by the wayside while he... And you know, Southern Hills, what a great setup.
Looked awesome.
And the three holes for the playoff were terrific. It was a par five reachable in two, a par four reachable off the tee, and then a par four with water hazard, as you know.
18 was so hard.
Just those three holes as an aggregate playoff was really terrific and fun, and you know.
And back to Mito Pereira for a second, Rich. It's like the mindset of what he told Amanda Baliunas after the round. He's coming into the tournament just hoping he makes the cut. And then suddenly there he is on Sunday with the lead, and now you're hoping to hang on. Two very different mindsets.
Yeah.
In a sport that's all mental. And having to balance that, you could just kind of see it on Sunday that it didn't look like he was going to win, even when he had a 2 or 3 shot lead. He's just, I feel bad for the guy. But
yeah,
it's just one of those situations where, you know, when it starts on Thursday, you're just hoping to be around on the weekend, and now you're trying to win a championship when you've never been there before. First time a lot of people have ever heard his name, and you got guys like Rory charging. Rory had a great Sunday. Justin Thomas is right there. It's tough to watch. There's fewer things that are tougher to watch than an epic golf meltdown.
I know. It was very Vandeveld-like.
Yeah. It's too bad.
It was unfortunate for him, but congrats to Justin Thomas. Peter King's going to join us at the top of the next hour. The news coming out of San Francisco, not surprising. The 49ers OTAs going down today. We chatted with George Kittle on Friday for his tight end university. And so the OTAs going today, no sign of Deebo Samuel. That is not a surprise at all. I'm just going to tell everybody out there in Niners Nation, everybody who's going to be seeing this, and every single time he does not show up between now and training camp, and even if he doesn't show up at the beginning of training camp, everybody just take a deep breath and exhale. Relax and let go. Everybody's got to do one of those meditations, because Deebo is either going to be sitting at the crib or he's going to be playing football for the San Francisco 49ers. In this day and age, we know guys have been in the NFL getting their NBA-type treatment, which is they want out, there's the door. Great. We'll do it. But you're now in a position post-draft. Got to do that pre-draft. I think now that we're post-draft, Niners aren't doing a damn thing except paying this guy. They're going to come to some form of an agreement, I think. Or Debo's going to play it out on his 1 year left on his deal. And then, I don't know, hope he doesn't get franchise tagged. And then potentially pull a Devontae Adams, who got franchise tagged and then got traded. I don't know what Debo's options are. I do find it interesting, though, that when we spoke to George Kittle the other day, and he said he spoke to Deebo and they were talking shoes and whatever. And then I asked him point blank, well, what about that whole narrative about him not wanting to be up there in Northern California anymore? Like, just the mere fact of the one thing that the Niners cannot change. Everything can be switched around or maneuvered. They're not changing coaches over this, and they're not changing addresses over this. That's the one totally unmovable part, is the entire franchise. They're not going to say, you know what, we're going to become the South Carolina 49ers, just for Debo. But we're going to keep our footprint hanging out there in Northern California until Debo leaves us. And then we'll go back. Then we'll just be the old San Francisco 49ers again. They're not going to be the SC 49ers. They're going to be the SF 49ers, even though they're playing, they're playing in Santa Clara, which is the SC right now. And George didn't give that straight of an answer. I mean, he gave a straight answer where he talked about taxes being difficult.
Yeah.
But he didn't basically say, nah, Debo loves it here. Or, yeah, no. I mean, he didn't tamp that one down completely.
He said it's not a distraction. Debo's not, you know, it's not.
That he did say, that we're not distracted by anything on it. He'll either play here or he won't.
Exactly.
We want him to play here, but if not, you know.
Kind of a very black and white.
It is true. It's just, but the bottom line is they're not distracted by it. So today's OTAs, there'll be conversations. And when Kyle Shanahan speaks, he will utilize the auxiliary head coaching cliche that's out there. As you know, I've got my three favorite coaching cliches. I don't have a crystal ball. You can control only what you can control. And the auxiliary one for this time of year is I'm only talking about the guys who are here. That's it. That's it. So he'll do that. The Niners will go about their business. But when week one hits for the San Francisco 49ers and they are in Soldier Field, it will be Trey Lance versus Justin Fields. Interesting opener, because it's going to be Trey Lance, people. There'll be a lot of that cheese laid out there for the OTA, but it's going to be Trey Lance. It's not going to be Trey Lance the backup, and it's not going to be Trey Lance the backup, certainly when George Kittle's having Trey Lance throw at his tight end university. And that's the reason why he's doing that isn't because Jimmy G is unhealthy. But Debo Samuel will be in Chicago. And I'm sorry, Bears fans. It'll be for the opposition. And he'll be generationally enriched, and everything else will go away. I'm telling you. Is there a slight percentage chance? Is there a Justin Thomas comes back from seven strokes down, 1.5% chance of this not going that way? Of course, but I've been around enough to know. Niners made it through the draft. They're not coughing them up right now for draft choices from a team that you don't know where they're going to land. And they're going to be worse than you think, because Debo will make them worse by performing very well for his other team, which is not happening. Don't take the cheese today is basically what I'm saying to 49er fans. Just breathe. Peter King coming up. That's one of those sneaky good week one games, San Francisco at the Bears, by the way.
Yeah, kind of under the radar.
The unveiling of Eberflus.
Oh, wow, that's pretty good.
That's a good one.
That's pretty good.
You know, it's also another good one. Sneaky good week one game. How about the Giants at Titans late in the afternoon? See Leonard Williams saying that Leonard Williams saying for the Giants that the Daboll coaching staff that there is a new contagious atmosphere.
I know, but
the energy.
Nobody's expecting the Giants to do much, right?
That's why I'm saying it's sneaky. Yeah. Sneaky good. Let's see what it looks like. Dude, they've got some serious weapons. If the quarterback's protected and he can come out and start running it and throwing it.
Like who? All their serious weapons have serious injury histories.
Or in week one, they will be healthy. By halftime, they'll be all hurt. But we'll see what happens at halftime. I don't mean to say such a thing, but.
Yeah, it's spicy.
Carolina, home for Cleveland. That'll be an incredible matchup of Baker Mayfield versus Jacoby Brissett.
Baker Mayfield for
Carolina.
I got it.
Or Baker Mayfield for Seattle against Russell Wilson on Monday night. Do you think ESPN is on there?
That's way more.
On their knees at night. That's like Stuart Scott used to say, when you hit the floor on your knees at night, praying to the football gods. Mayfield versus Russ on that Monday night.
That's way sexy.
That's sneaky good. Ravens at the Jets. whole crowd fired up. Zach versus LJ. Right? Sauce. Out there. Yeah. Garrett Wilson. Touchdown. Jets win by 17. Shocking the world. Week one. Oh, yeah. My endorphins are still popping from my pickleball yesterday. That's a sneaky good one.
I mean, do you want some lines? I can tell you what the line is on that.
That's crazy. They're setting lines now.
Jets plus 4.5.
Jump on that, man. Oh. Jump on that as anybody would on May 23rd.